Radiolab is supported by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, exercising, cleaning. What if you could also be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com, Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Radiolab is supported by the John Templeton Foundation, funding research and catalyzing conversations that inspire people with awe and wonder. Learn about the researchers making the latest discoveries in the science of well-being, complexity, forgiveness, and free will at templeton.org/podcast.
Listener supported, WNYC Studios.
Hello, I'm Jad Abumrad.
I'm Robert Krulwich.
Today on Radiolab, our topic is the music in our heads. How does it get there? Where does it come from?
And why won't it go away?
Yes. Now, you think that the music you listen to is your music, that it comes from the place you live. But there is such a thing as everybody's music. And we offer the next story as a kind of proof. It comes to us from reporter Gregory Warner.
Gregory Warner, you won a journalism fellowship, and they said to you, you could go anywhere in the whole world. Where did you decide to go?
So I went to Afghanistan.
Have you ever been to a war zone before, by any chance?
No.
But have you done any international reporting before?
Well, actually, earlier that year, I had been in Estonia covering an accordion festival. So that was a
So you play the accordion?
I play accordion.
Are you like an accomplished accordionist?
No. I'm just an amateur accordionist.
Okay.
But
so when you go to Afghanistan, do you bring your accordion with you?
Yeah, I brought my accordion.
How did that work out?
Well, I show up in Afghanistan, I'm carrying my accordion, and I'm thinking, maybe this wasn't the smartest idea.
Because?
It wasn't an accordion playing crowd. I mean, I was going down the street and women in burqas are holding their babies and little boys will actually sob, begging you to sort of buy a piece of gum. Here I am with my shiny red accordion and it's just not very appropriate.
Does there come a time when you're actually willing to use the accordion?
Well, it was a weeknight. It was in my living room. I find Najib, who's my fixer and translator. He's working for me. He's lying on his back and he's flinging his legs up into the air. A guard is catching his legs and flinging them back down.
Why are you doing that?
Well, this is a kind of ab crunches.
That's what we're listening to now?
Yeah, there he's throwing his legs up. Guard pushes him back down. Going up. Back down. So I figured I'd help him out. So I start playing my accordion for him. And it's going well. Najib's bopping his head to the tune, and then he kind of looks at me. He says, hey, how do you know Afghan music? I say, I'm not playing Afghan music. And he says, yes, you are. I said, no, I'm not. Yeah, you are. I said, no, that's like folk song from the 60s called Those Were the Days, My Friend. Some song that my mom used to sing.
Those were the days, my friend.
Yeah, that's my mom.
We thought they'd never end. We'd sing and dance forever and a day.
He says, no, that's an Afghan song. And then he's back to the ab crunches. And I'm like, no, wait. Please tell me the story of Those Were the Days, my friend.
So what's the story of Those Were the Days, my friend? That's what we call it. Tell me about that song.
That song is from a singer who is famous for his being a Casanova. His name is Ahmad Zahir.
Ahmad Zahir, famous singer in Afghanistan. It's 25 years ago. But
how did the lyrics go in...
تنها شدم تنها
تنها شدم تنها
آسوده از غمها شدم.
Wait, that's not, there's,
okay, it's true, he did get it wrong, so I forgot about it, I thought he was crazy. Then it kept happening. I would bring my accordion, play it for some people. Every time, people would say, Hey, isn't that an Ahmed Zahir song?
How do you spell this name?
Z-A-H-I-R.
Ahmed Zahir, who is he?
Well, that's what I wanted to find out. So the first thing Najib gave me was his entire CD collection. And one night I sit down, listen to it. I'm hearing one Western riff after another. John Lennon, Nat King Cole, definitely a lot of Elvis. Like, I realized on this tune... Here's an Ahmed Zahir tune. You can actually overlay the Elvis version... right on top of it.
Is he stealing these tunes? Is that what you're saying?
It's more like he Afghanized them. Like, here's one of his biggest hits. Tanha Shadem Tanha.
Tanha Shadem Tanha.
Now, you remember, this is the song that Najib sung to me. But it did sound familiar. So I emailed this tune to an old friend in St. Louis. He immediately said, oh yeah, that's that Western disco hit, El Bimbo.
Oh, that's amazing.
So now this is the Western version. It's the same melody as the Ahmed Zahir version, same key even. Now let's just go back to the Ahmed Zahir version for a second. Now listen to this violin line. So this is East meets West, Ahmed Zahir style. And this is like the mega hit in Kabul in 1973. And this is the sound of Afghanistan in the 70s. So I beg Najib to tell me more about this Ahmed Zahir guy. And finally he says, okay, I'll take you to meet the old childhood friend of the man himself. So we drive up to this gate. This guy with white hair opens the door. He and Najib chat for a bit. This guy named Sadat Dardar.
Sadat Dardar.
He's been friends with Ahmed Zahir since the fourth grade. And he takes us inside. He closes the gate behind us. And the scene changes. Suddenly it's a garden. Birds are chirping. And then Sadat stops and he points to this old fountain in the courtyard. And he says something to Najib and Najib starts laughing. And Najib says, you know, this is the fountain where Ahmed Zahir used to play his accordion. Ahmed Zahir plays accordion, just like me.
Uh-huh. He's saying that 40 girls were lying down there and he was playing accordion here, you know.
40 girls?
40 girls?
Well, they did call him Casanova for a reason.
But was that okay? Because in Afghanistan, maybe girls and boys aren't supposed to, like, be hanging out.
Yes and no, because Afghanistan was a pretty different country in those days. It's something I didn't even realize until I got there. This is the 70s. The women are wearing skirts and Jane Fonda haircuts. The men are wearing sideburns and they're doing their James Dean. And it's not just what people are wearing. It's that there's this sense of possibility in there. Things are opening up, finally. And the poster boy for all this is Ahmed Zahir. He's a bad boy.
When he had a concert, everybody, all the boys and girls would come to his concerts wearing new clothes. And not only all the girls of Afghanistan, but the foreign girls, they also were in love with him.
Let me just play you one little clip from one of his shows. And I want you to hear a little scream that comes right in, right here. For young Afghans at the time, especially young Afghan women, Ahmed Zahir, he was like a god.
No mother will give birth a child as good as Ahmed Zahir.
And this is where the story gets a lot darker. It's 1973. The Russians start to move in. And the new president that they put in, he doesn't really like Ahmed Zahir at all.
Why?
Well, it was really in their interest that Ahmed Zahir would come out publicly praising the government, and he always refused to do it. Anything political, he wouldn't play the show. And some of his songs, especially the later songs, started to actually have coded anti-government lyrics in them.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then he would have other lyrics about how freedom is the most important thing.
So what did the government do to him?
They ban his songs from the radio. They start throwing him in jail kind of regularly. But even when he gets out of jail, he refuses to play any of the Communist Party events. Huh. But he plays plenty of his own shows. In fact, after one concert, he meets this beautiful woman named Fahira. The way she tells the story, he taps her on the shoulder. He says, hey.
He says, can I talk to you? I turned my face. I said, yeah. He said, no, never mind.
He tapped you on the shoulder and he said, "Can I talk to you?" And then he said, "Never mind." And he walked away?
And he just walked away.
That was pretty good seduction technique.
Well, I guess he was very good in it. He got lots of girls like that.
And he got her. And they got married. And she got pregnant. Meanwhile, the political situation was getting worse and worse. All his friends are fleeing the country. There are murders, tortures.
Somebody came to our house, knocked the door, and he said, "Can I talk to Ahmad Zahir, please?" Ahmad Zahir offered him, "Can I get you a drink?" He said, No, I've just come from the Ministry of Interior. There's a plan for you. I don't know what they're going to do to you. That's all I want to tell you, to be careful."
But Ahmad Zahir and his wife, they don't do anything.
They don't?
They don't leave.
Why?
He says, "Oh, we'll go after the baby's born." Huh. 5 days later, it's his birthday, June 14th, 1979. He's actually signing a contract for a concert that day.
He went to sign a contract.
And as he's driving away, he tells her to make some lunch.
He said, "When we come back, we'll go shopping, and then I will make lasagna, and then we'll go out."
So she makes lasagna. And she waits for him to come back. And she waits, and then she falls asleep.
I had a very weird dream. I'm somewhere very high in the mountains, and I have no shoes, and there's a very strong wind blowing, and my hair is everywhere. And I see him, not the way he went in the morning. His beard is out like he hasn't shaved for the past 2 days, and he has something white around him, and something is pulling him, and he's calling me that I don't want to go. And suddenly I woke up, I ran down. I saw my father-in-law. He wouldn't talk, he was just bending, you know, like shaking himself and bending and just holding my hand. I didn't know anything, what happened.
So what happened then?
Well, the government says that Ahmad Zahir had a traffic accident, but everybody else tells me he was shot in the head, probably by government operatives. And the news spreads through all the neighborhoods in town. So you have Tajiks, Pashtuns, Uzbeks, they're all getting up and not really knowing what else to do. They come walking to Ahmad Zahir's house. The courtyard starts filling up with people, 50, 100, 200. They're inside the house, they're outside the house, they're on the street. At this point, the body comes, borne by 6 policemen on a stretcher. People start to wail, they start to push. In fact, all the windows break, the doors break. They bring the body through the courtyard into the living room. And Fakira pushes through the police, and she sees her husband's body on the stretcher.
So I thought he was hurt or something. And when I pulled the sheet from his face, that's when I fell down on top. When I fell, they took me to the hospital, and that's how Shabnam was born.
So does she go into labor?
She goes into labor.
Right there.
Yeah, yeah, and she almost dies in childbirth. But her baby's saved, she's saved, and her baby has the same birthday then.
Her baby was born on that very day?
That very day.
So then what happened?
Well, then the music basically stops. It's that winter that the Russians invade. Starts a long period of war. You have the jihad, then the mujahideen, then the civil war. When the Taliban come in, they just ban music entirely. I mean, no instruments. We're talking 20 years where the cultural life of this country basically is frozen. I can't even imagine what that's like. I can barely go a day without hearing some tunes. 2001, the Americans come in. Afghanistan's opened back up. The radio's turned back on. And who comes out of them? Ahmad Zahir.
So, Greg, when you turn on the radio today in Kabul, do you hear Ahmad Zahir?
I'm telling you, it's my main way that I connect with taxi drivers. Invariably, they're listening to an Ahmad Zahir song.
Even now?
Oh, yeah.
Why? Because there's just not been a chance for new artists to emerge? Or it's just, you know, there was a deep freeze?
And also, Ahmad Zahir reminds everybody of what Kabul used to be. I had this experience with my accordion again and again myself. Even when I played people my music, they'd get this smile on their face, as if I was reminding them of something they knew before me. In fact, there was one time I was up north and there was this big music festival and I had brought my accordion and they said, "Well, why don't you play?" And I said, "Well, I mean, I could play for you, sure." And they said, "How about right now?" And so they kick the band that's on there off. They send them to drink green tea. They shove me up on stage. I'm standing in front of 300 Afghans And these guys, they're not from Kabul. They don't speak English. They're not wearing suits and ties. This is a very Afghan crowd. So I figure I should play some Johnny Cash.
Of course.
Me. I fell for you like a child, and ooh, the fire went wild. I fell into a burning ring of fire. Down, down, down.
But they're going crazy. It was the best crowd I've ever had.
Greg Warner traveled to Afghanistan with support from an International Reporting Project Fellowship from the Johns Hopkins School of Advanced International Studies. And if you visit our website, radiolab.org, you can see video, actual video footage of that Johnny Cash concert. It's worth checking out.
Yeah, he shot it. So there you see them all in their strange non-country Western clothing.
Well, we're out of time. When you're on our website, radiolab.org, you can also send us an email, radiolab@wnyc.org. I'm Jad Abumrad.
I'm Robert Krulwich.
Thanks for listening.
Radio Lab is produced by Jad Abumrad, Lulu Miller, Rob Christensen, Ellen Horn, and Tony Field. Production support by Sally Herships, Sarah Pellegrini, Ariel Lasky, Heather Radke, Jesse Banco, Anna Buoco Weyrock.
Linda Everts and Soren Wheeler. Thanks to Alan Hall and Falling Tree Productions, Josh Kurtz, and Dan Hershey.
Radiolab is supported by the John Templeton Foundation, funding research and catalyzing conversations that inspire people with awe and wonder. Learn about the researchers making the latest discoveries in the science of well-being, complexity, forgiveness, and free will at templeton.org/podcast.